Okay, let's get started.
Oh, wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 20 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, as per usual, Shelton Muller. How are you?
Hey, I'm really, really good. Have we done 20 of these things?
We have.
Wow. Boy. And I still got stuff to talk about. Isn't that great?
It's fantastic.
I'll run out sooner or later. But of course, I must have mentioned that I appreciate all our listeners emailing us and asking us questions. It always gives us something to talk about and an idea of what people need to know. And we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I take it that's what we're going to talk about this week?
I've got a couple of Daves to get through.
Yep.
And then we're going to talk about a subject called pre-visualization. Let's first talk to our Daves. Dave Zach, thank you for your email. We really appreciate it. Dave's from upstate New York, so it's nice to get something from that part of the world. Yep. Nice to know you're listening, Dave. Dave, look, your questions about going from film to digital are excellent. And may I just suggest that you seriously consider doing so without, of course, giving up film, because you seem to like it, and that's not a problem. But your reasons, as you mentioned in the email, for going digital are viable. The fact that it's, you know, a new way of enjoying photography, and, of course, it saves you a lot of money when you're learning and improving your photography. So that's a great you know, motivation for you. You've got a couple of questions, and let me just answer them. You ask about digital SLR that I could recommend, and then you mention one that I do recommend, and of course that's the Nikon D70S, and I've mentioned that on this program before. I would highly recommend that camera. My wife owns one, and the images that come straight out of it are just fabulous. Your concerns about it only going down to ISO 200, nothing slower, are not concerns at all. Pictures taken on a bright day, as you mentioned, are not a problem with 200 ISO. A lot of people used to shoot 400 on bright days and not have a problem with it. There's not an issue with noise. There's nothing like that. It's just, you know, the fact that that's the nature of the sensor that they put into the camera. The D100 has an ISO 200, you know, minimal ISO as well, and I've never encountered a problem with it. So hope that helps. The thing that you actually got wrong, though, is that the D200 does come down to 100 ISO. And I've got one in my hot little hands that the Nikon people here in Australia have sent to me to review, and it is an awesome camera. So if you're looking at the D, if you can, you know, go to the next step to the D200, mate, just do it.
This is like the full-on super-duper pro version, isn't it?
It's the next step up from the D100. It's not their super duper pro, which is the D2X.
Let me tell you,
the D200 is an awesome piece of camera.
Right. And so just for those who are listening that weren't in the market, what are they worth roughly?
In Australia, the body sells for about $2,800. So yeah, that's just the body, and then of course, you know, lenses, flashes and battery packs and all those kinds of things. I'm not sure what it would sell for, say, in the United States, but you know, do your comparison from Australian dollar to American.
$4,000 Australian for a basic kit then.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, if you've already got into the Nikon system, you may only need a body.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's true.
You know, but let me just say, highly recommend that camera if it's something that you're seriously looking at. I've never had a problem, though, as you suggest, with ISO 200 being a minimum, but on the D200 it actually does go down to 100. So I hope that helps you, mate. And thanks also for sending through your web page so we can have a look at your pictures. Appreciate you all doing that. Let I know who I'm talking to and just how much you love the fine art of photography. So let us know how you go, Dave. I'd be interested to know what you bought. Now, Dave from Omaha, Nebraska. You've actually set up a home studio as per one of our previous Shutters Inks, which was also generated from a question that we received via email. So thanks for doing that, and thanks for sending through your photographs. Really appreciate that. Nice to know that you've done that on such a shoestring budget. David only spent a handful of dollars and has got, you know, a working home studio. So well done. Now, you asked me, David, about how to shoot a wedding. Mate, that is just something we can talk about in a 10-minute podcast. But it may be something that I'll address in future. There are a lot of Australian photographers who want to know about that, and I'm actually thinking of putting together a DVD to that effect. So I'll keep you posted on that, David.
This is 2 weeks in a row we've sort of covered on this. I'm thinking maybe we should just do one special edition of Shutters Inc. that's just devoted to wedding photography, maybe.
You know, it's not a bad idea, Bruce. Yeah. I'm going to put together some notes. As long as our listeners understand that we'd have to keep it very brief, and it's a very difficult thing to just vocalize and not display visually or explain visually. But there are some principles behind wedding photography that we certainly can discuss, in an audio format that will make understanding wedding photography so much simpler. I mean, no offense to our American listeners, but I'm going to say something they're not going to like anyway. Australian wedding photographers are probably among the best, if not the best, wedding photographers in the world. Just to answer your question, David, one of the problems that Australian photographers have, or one of the criticisms that Australian photographers, wedding and portrait photographers, have with American wedding portrait photographers, is that American wedding photographers are very much into, absolute posing and absolute light and making sure that your fingers look like they're holding pencils and all those other old-fashioned, very outdated ideas. In fact, one of Australia's finest wedding photographers, Martin Shembri, said of the Americans, they're dead behind the eyes. And I hate to say that to you, mate, but if you're going to look at some fine wedding photography, log on to some Australian photography websites, such as those by Yervant Zanzanian, Yervant Zanzanian, Zanzanian, I think it is. One of Australia's best, as is Martin Shembri. That's Schembri. Look at the work of these guys, and you'll see that a lot about wedding photography is spontaneity, soul, light, and creativity. It's not about the pedantics of posing, the pedantics of all the things that American photographers tend to worry about that have nothing to do with capturing the soul and the essence of a wedding day and the couple involved. So
if I could just throw in another quick tip for sources of Australian wedding photography, Dave, if you know someone who's either coming from Australia over to America, or you know someone over there who's coming over here for a holiday and will be returning, get them to pop into an Australian newsagent and pick up one of the Australian bridal magazines, because they're full of adverts for different photographers, and naturally they always demo their best work, and it's a great source of content.
Yeah, and that's an excellent idea. We'll talk about wedding photography in greater detail perhaps in the next couple of weeks, I'd say. It's a good idea. So we've had a few requests for it. We'll do it. What do you think, Bruce?
Sounds good. All right,
I'll prepare something for a future podcast. So, Dave, keep listening, mate, okay? And for all of you who want to make a few dollars shooting weddings, or just want to help a friend who's in a bind and getting married, we'll cover that. I wanted to talk very briefly about a subject, though, that is at the heart of photography to me, and that's pre-visualization. We throw that term around. Whenever I type it into Microsoft Word, it always gives me that squiggly red line, so I don't even know if it's a proper word or not. So, but we've coined this phrase in the photography industry to endeavor to describe a natural creative process that I think anyone involved in the visual arts has, and that is that we are tormented sometimes by an image in the back of our mind that we want to create. And
yeah,
this image can be something that we've been dreaming of for a while, or it can happen spontaneously when we're walking through the park, when we're walking through the city, when we're down on the beach, when we see a subject. We suddenly begin to form an image in our head and we start taking pictures. And often the images that we create are disappointing because they don't match the image that we have pre-visualized in our mind. The problem about the image in our mind is that it's behind a few hazy, foggy blankets that, we can't really see it, but it's there. It's a concept and it's driving us nuts.
It's like now, a memory. It's not quite the real thing.
Yeah, not quite. And of course, did this happen or did that happen? I can't remember, man. And this is the same with images that we pre-visualize. So let me just a couple of hints. A lot of the disappointment that happens to enthusiast and amateur photographers, and a lot of the reasons a lot of them give up photography, I'm no good, is because they are constantly disappointed by seeing their pictures and knowing that they're not matching up with their pre-visualized concepts or ideas. So let's just throw a few things around that will help you make the images that you create closer to those that you pre-visualized. First of all, take your time. If you have the time, work through the process until you find yourself coming more to grips with the image in your head. And if you think about it, that is that's a logical thing to do, because anything that we take up, whether it's learning a new song on the guitar or the piano or learning the lyrics to a new song or anything that we do, it takes time. You know, singers will practice songs many times to get the right inflection. And it should be no difference to taking a picture. There's no, you know, we would never hand a song to, you know, a singer and expect him to get it right first time. The same is when we're taking pictures. Work through it. Take a few frames and take your time to create the image you see in your head. Ask yourself, am I using the right lens? The image that I see in my head, is it a wide angle perspective? Is it a telephoto perspective? Is it close? Is it far? How do I see it, you know, from a focal length point of view? And of course, when we change lenses, ask yourself also, what's the depth of field that I should be using? Should I wipe out all the depth of field? Or do I really want to see the context of my subject all sharp? So would I increase or decrease my depth of field? Think about the aperture that you're using, especially in conjunction with the focal length of the lens that you've chosen. Then, of course, composition. And this is a natural flow on from the lens that we've used. A wide-angle lens, you'll compose completely differently, naturally, to using a telephoto lens. So you will need to think about that. What are the elements in the image that I see? What do I keep? What do I throw out? And how would I lay them out in this image that I see? So you've got this natural flow-on effect as you work through. Then, of course, you've got things like filters. Do I need a grad filter? And then there's your viewpoint. Now, you've got your composition. You've got the idea of that. You've got your focal length. You've worked out your depth of field. You know, maybe all these things will come together. But where should I take this picture from? Do I go right up to the subject? Do I come back? Do I elevate my stance? Do I get myself nice and high? Do I need to stand on something? Or do I come right down to ground level? Do I go around to my right? Do I go around to my left? Work all these things out. Where do you stand? How do you take the picture? And, you know, every time you move and every time you change your lens and every time you change your depth of field and your composition, all of these factors will suddenly change. Sort of like numbers in a spreadsheet, you change one and all the others automatically change. And that will be the case as you work through the image. And of course, exposure is even an issue. What do I expose for? Is there a way that I'm seeing this image that perhaps I should expose for just the light on their face, or just that, should I overexpose, make it high key, underexpose, make it low key? Exposure is a final factor to consider as well. And these days, if you're a digital shooter, there's the object or the possibility rather of post-processing. Ansel Adams, of course, was a fabulous photographer, but he was one hell of a master in the darkroom. And the images that we know of his that are the most famous are actually taken from fairly ordinary pictures when you see them without his darkroom, you know, toning and manipulation. Some of his famous Yosemite photographs, of course, Yosemite is a beautiful place and anybody can take a good photograph at Yosemite, but the images that Ansel Adams took are masterful pieces of darkroom work. And of course, an excellent photograph to begin with, but darkroom work. So think about your photograph also as you're taking it in terms of, what am I going to do with it afterwards? Am I going to make it black and white or sepia? Am I going to dodge and burn? Am I going to tone it? What am I going to soften it? What am I going to do with this picture afterwards? Is that how I see it in my head? Is it blue toned? Is it dark? Is it sharp? Is it soft? All of these things you'll need to consider so that you can get in touch with the image that's in your head. It is that image in your head that is the initiative behind you picking up your camera and saying, oh, I've got to photograph this. Get in touch with that image in your head while you're doing so, to the best of your ability, so that when you do finally create the image, there is a high level of satisfaction and you are thus motivated to continue to create. Not only that, but you have learned so much from that one process of getting in touch with the image that there swims in the back of your mind mists and fogs. And if you can do that, your photography will take leaps and bounds forward. Any masterful photograph that you've seen usually comes from a process whereby, you know, several frames have been taken and several changes have been made until finally, bang, there's the picture. Very few photographers are in a situation where they're given time or given an assignment are able to just take the picture straight off. Usually they're flukes if they are, or they're photojournalistic by nature and there was no other opportunity. So learn to work through and get in touch with the image that you've pre-visualized.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Shelton.
No worries. That's a pleasure. Just a couple of things. If you don't mind a bit of a plug, Bruce,
I'm going to plug
my Argentina photo tour all our listeners worldwide.
You're taking bookings now, are you?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. A photo tour is a fabulous thing because you get all the benefits of being on a normal tour. You get looked after by guides and you get nice hotel rooms and all that kind of thing. But the whole tour for 2.5 weeks is a group of photographers, nutty, crazy individuals who want to do nothing but take fabulous photographs. So the whole tour is organized around the best light, the best time of day, and the best circumstances. It's great fun.
Now, do people have to be coming from Australia? Like if American people wanted to come, could they just meet you down there and join in?
Yes. Americans are allowed. I've banned them in times past, but I've had Americans come who've been very well behaved. So I think they've learned something in recent. No, I'm kidding. Anybody's welcome. We'll even take people from New Zealand, Bruce. It's not a problem. As long as they do something about that accent, man. That's just got to do something about that. But no, we'll take anybody. And there is no greater way to exchange ideas than being together as a group of photographers as you travel. I learn so much from those I'm supposed to be teaching that it's a serious benefit to me. But the idea of a photo tour is that, you know, one, I'll be leading it and I'll be there to workshop the whole thing for you. So you'll hopefully learn a lot and I'll learn a lot too. And everybody helps everybody else, you know. We exchange lenses, we exchange ideas. Usually the bus is divided down the middle by the first day, the Nikon users and the Canon users. Anybody else is sort of up the back, you know, and we're at war the whole time. But it's a friendly little battle and it's a real good hoot. So if you are interested in photographing Argentina, we're going to be staying on a ranch with gaucho cowboys and photographing their culture. We're going to Iguazu Falls. We're going to some of the rainforests. We're in deserts. We're just doing everything. And it's going to be the best photo opportunity of your life.
Okay. And is there a website where people can log in and express an interest?
What I'll do, Bruce, if that's okay, is send you a PDF. Yep. Would you mind putting it on the audio to you?
No, not at all.
People could download it.
Yep,
so they
fine.
Can have a look at the tour. And
that's their order form as well?
It is their order form as well. And all they've got to do, if they want to, they can email me via you or Google me, and I can answer any of their questions as well.
Beautiful. All right, Shelton, thank you for that.
Thank you.
We'll talk with you next week.
Look forward to it, mate. I look forward to hearing, getting some more emails and questions from our listeners too. So keep it up, gang. Good on you.
All right. See you, mate.
See you soon.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotoyou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audiotoyou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark.
Audiotoyou.com.